Our Bible reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, from the second book of Samuel, 2 Samuel, and the chapter is 19. Second Samuel, the chapter is 19. And we'll commence to read at verse 31. Reading here about this man, Barzillai. His name is pronounced in various ways. I hear it pronounced in different manners. I have to confess, I don't know what the correct pronunciation of the Hebrew of the word is, but we will call him Barzillai this morning. That is the most common pronunciation of it, I understand. Verse 31, and Barzillai the Gileadite came down from Rogelim and went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of substance while he lay at Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. And Barzillai said unto the king, how long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can I discern between good and evil? Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king, and why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother. Let him go over. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the king answered, Chimham shall go over with me, and I will do to him that which shall seem good unto thee. And whatsoever thou shalt require of me, that will I do for thee. And all the people went over Jordan, and when the king was come over, the king kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned unto his own place. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him, and all the people of Judah conducted the king, and also half the people of Israel. Amen. We'll end the reading there at the verse 40. We look to the Lord again in a wee word of prayer. Our God and our Father, again we look to thee in prayer. We thank thee for this time of worship, for the hymns that we've been singing, for the messages that are found in those hymns, the substance that is found there. But Lord, we turn now to thy word, and we need to hear from thee. And Lord, we're praying now that for the purpose of hearing what thou hast got to say to us this hour, we pray that thou would close us in with thyself and take away every distraction, every distracting thought, Lord, so that our mind, our attention is given to what thou hast to say to us. I pray, Lord, that thou would help the preaching of the word. Help the preacher, Lord. Oh, give me that help from the sanctuary. Thou knowest the need of the preacher today. I pray, Lord, that thou would meet that need for thine own glory's sake. And I pray, oh God, that thou would be everything that I require. Give to me that fresh anointing, Lord. And let me know the power of God, the Holy Ghost, in the place of the preaching of the infallible Word of God. Give me clarity of mind. Take from me every distracting thought. Give me that plainness of speaking, Lord, that all will be able to understand what thou hast to say to us. Lord, we throw ourselves upon thee. Answer prayer, we pray, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. When we read in these verses here of this man, Barzillai, he is an old man. He's 80 years of age. His life is almost over, and he feels his age. But what a man he was. In the verse 32, we read that he was a very great man. The term would indicate primarily his wealth, his possessions. He had great possessions. But the term will also indicate to us that here is a man who was a very great man in many aspects of his life. Sometimes when we read of great men of God, we are apt to say, Lord, make me such a man. Here is a man before us in these verses. And we would do well to look to the Lord and say, Lord, make me such a man as this man. His name bears testimony to his character. The name Barzillai, it means man of iron. And this man was certainly a man of iron. He was made of firm stuff. And I want this morning just to look at what God tells us about this man of iron. And I want that we should learn from his relationship with King David. We should learn what our relationship with the Lord should be. We can see in his relationship with King David a reflection of what our relationship should be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we look at David, he is a type, he is a picture. He is pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ in so many ways. King David is a type, he's a picture, pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ, and that the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings. David, we read in the verse 21 of this chapter, he was the Lord's anointed. And of course, the name Christ means anointed. David's name means beloved. And it reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the beloved Son of God. God saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. David is the shepherd. And Christ is the shepherd of his sheep. Over in John in the chapter 10, we read in the verse 11, for example, of the Lord Jesus Christ being the good shepherd. And there he is, the good shepherd that gave his life for the sheep, pointing us, of course, to Calvary, pointing us to the cross work of Christ, pointing us to his atoning work, pointing us to the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the shepherd that laid down his life for sinners, that we should be taken in by the grace of God to the family, to the flock of God. And those who are redeemed here today, we can look to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, he is my shepherd. He is the one who died in my place, who bore the wrath of God in my place. And let me just say, dear sinner friend here today, yet unsaved, at the very commencement of the message, if Christ is not your shepherd, if he is not your Savior, then, my friend, you have no right of entrance into heaven. You will never be in heaven unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, unless you are cleansed by the blood of him who is the Lamb of God. You will never be found in heaven unless your sins are forgiven, and forgiven on the basis of the substitutionary atoning work of Christ, that Jesus died for sinners. Jesus died for those men and women and young people who will put their trust in him, coming in repentance, knowing their sin, and throwing themselves on the mercy of God for salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the saving shepherd. But as we look here in these verses at this relationship between Barzillai and David, we see in it a picture of the relationship between the child of God, the one who is saved by the grace of God, and his Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we look at this man, let me note first of all his separation. His separation unto the Lord's anointed. Now, let us see the background of Barzillai's separation unto David. Absalom, David's son, King David's son, had rebelled against his father. And by his cunning, Absalom, he had won the hearts of the people of Israel to himself. If we go back to the chapter 15, if you look at the first six there, in the chapter 15 of 2 Samuel, at the very end of the verse there we read, "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel by his sweet words, by his empty promises and actions, by ridiculing the king. He gained the confidence of the people until all Israel had followed him." Absalom, David's son, he was a deceiver. He was a liar. He deceived his father. He lied to his father in the first seven of the chapter 15. And it came to pass, after 40 years, that Absalom said unto the king, "I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. For thy servant vowed a vow while I abode at Jeshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again into Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord." And the king said unto him, "Go in peace." Here's a young man, and he lied to his father. He deceived his father. His father, like many a good parent, was very willing to believe the best of a son. But oh, how wicked it is for children to take advantage of good parents with a show of religion, to deceive their parents with a show of religion. Here's a man, he deceived his father. Here's a man, he deceived all of Israel. The first six tells us there about how he stole the hearts of Israel, of the men of Israel. He even deceived the very best of men, men who held high position, men who were good men. In the first 11 there, we read of these men that 200, there were 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called, and they went in their simplicity, and they knew not anything. Here we have men who were called men, good men, men of position, worthy men, and they were fooled and deceived by Absalom. They followed him in simplicity, we read. They knew not anything. That is about the plans that Absalom had until it was too late. They were fooled by this man. And people, there is a lesson here for us to learn. That wicked and ungodly men and women can win the hearts of gullible people and even good people by their sweet words and by their deceptive promises. God's people, and the unsaved too, need to exercise wisdom and good judgment. And they need to have discernment on every matter and not to be taken in by the honeyed words and the false promises of those who are the enemies of God. And today there is much being made of the enemies of Christ and what they're saying. And we read their sly words and how their promises are formed with honey, all presented to us in a manner that we ought to accept them, that this is for our good, and this will be for the good of the province, and this will be for the good of everyone concerned. People, we need to have discernment today. We need to stick to what God says today. We need to make our judgments and our decisions based upon what God's word says and not what men say. We need to be like the men of Berea. Those men, they listened and they readily received what the Apostle Paul had preached. But we read in the chapter 17 of Acts, the verse 11, that they searched the scriptures daily or whether those things were so. They listened to what Paul had to say, and they received it, but they went home and they checked it out on the basis of what does the Scripture say. Does what Paul say agree with what the Scripture says? They check everything against the Word of God. And people, there's a lesson for us here, for there's many an Absalom about who would deceive us with their fine words and promises. We need to check everything according to the word of God. It was the purpose of Absalom to destroy King David and to take his throne, and the people fell in with that. Now, David fled to exile, to Mahanaim, and Absalom took the city of Jerusalem. And Barzillai went to David in the first 32 here of our reading. Barzillai went to David. He identified himself with David. It was not a popular thing, especially for a great man to do. David's men were regarded by the people as renegades. They were rabble, they were common people, as we read of them in the chapter 22 of 1 Samuel. They were very much just like those who separated from apostasy and joined themselves to the witness of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster years ago. Many in this congregation will remember those days and will remember that those who separated themselves unto the cause of Christ, that they were regarded as rabble, as common people, as riffraff. They were despised by the majority, despised by the apostasy, despised by the world, despised by the liberals. It was not a popular thing for them to do. But here's a point. While David's men were despised by the majority as men of no value, we read of them in the chapter 23 of 2 Samuel. In the first 8, God regarded them as something different. They were not rabble and renegades in the eyes of God. God said they were mighty men. It is better to be well thought of by God than to be well thought of by the enemies of God. Now, here is this man. It takes a strong man or woman to identify with Christ and his cause, while the majority are siding with the world and with the devil's crowd. But Barzillai joined himself to God's anointed when it was difficult to do so. People, let us learn the lesson well again today. To be joined to and to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ and with his righteous cause. We used to sing a wee chorus in the Sunday school in Portland, Owen, dare to be a Daniel and dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose firm and dare to make it known. That was Barzillai. And my friend, we need to look to the Lord and ask the Lord, oh, make me to be like this man, a man who is saved by the grace of God and rejoicing in the Lord and thankful to the Lord for his saving grace and separated unto God with a purpose to support the cause of the Lord. We see here also in these verses his support for the cause of the Lord's anointed. It was not some sort of a nominal support, a name only. People today will say, oh, I support this and I support that. Someone might even say, I support such a football team maybe in the mainland. They don't ever show an appearance at one of their matches. They don't give a penny to them, but they're a supporter of them. I'm not advocating, by the way, that you should give money or that you should attend football matches in the mainland or anywhere for that matter. That's not what I'm saying. In fact, my own personal mind is the very opposite. But we won't delve into that matter. If you want to know why that should be, ask me after the evening service and we will discuss why I don't support football teams. But a name only. But here's a man, and he was a real supporter of the cause of David, of the Lord's anointed. He did all that he could for the cause of David. In the verses 31 and 32, the verses that we read together, we read in the verse 32, he had provided the king of sustenance. While the king was in exile, here's a man who provided the king and provided the king's army, the king's men, with sustenance. We won't turn to it, but the chapter 17. There's a list there in the verses 28 and 29 of all of the things that he gave to the king at that particular time, helping to sustain them, to comfort them, to encourage them, to strengthen them. People, here's the point. He saw the need and he didn't leave it to others to meet that need. And the cause of Christ is a worthy cause today. The cause of Christ, my friend, is about the saving of souls. It's about the glory of God. It's about the edifying of the people of God. That's the cause of Christ. Going after sinners in order to see them saved. I say again, men and women and young people unsaved today. Oh, that you should come to Christ. The very purpose of the preaching of the gospel is to glorify God by sinners being spoken to by the Spirit of God and being drawn to the Savior in saving grace for salvation. Sinner, you need to be saved. Here's the cause of the Lord. Living a life that brings glory to the Lord. The people of God knowing the sanctifying power of God, that edifying of life whereby they witness to the Lord and bring glory to the Lord's name. My friend, that's the cause here of Christ. It's worthy of support, both in presence and in our substance. Here's a man. Barzillai, he gave of his presence. He was there. He was there. He didn't say, King David, I'll pray for you. He was there with him. And there with him, he gave him of the substance that he had. Here's a man. He supported the Lord's anointed. But then we find his steadfastness to the Lord's anointed. In that verse 36, in fact, in a number of these verses, the first 31, the first 36, the first 39, we read of him there continuing on with the king over the Jordan. He went to the Jordan with the king. He went over the Jordan. Jordan, of course, is a picture of death. And when we apply it in that particular way, Barzillai went on with the king for as long as he could until it was time to die. He went on with the king to the end of his life. Just like what Paul said of himself over in 2 Timothy 4 and 7 when he said, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He continued on. Many there are who start well in their Christian path, but after a while, they start to wane and become unreliable, and they bend before the criticism of the world and oftentimes bend before the applause of the world. They may even change sides. But here's a man of God, and here's a man of iron. And a man of iron will stay the course. And we can note something here. His heart was not on what the king could do for him. He didn't follow the king for what he could get out of it. It was what he could do for the king. That was his purpose. In the verse 33, we read together there what the king wanted to do for him. Come now over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. He's saying to Barzillai, if you come with me, I will look after you. I'll feed you. Whatever you have need of, I'll do it for you. And then in that verse 34 and verse 35, we have the response of Barzillai. He didn't want any reward. He didn't want any recompense, he said. It was not what he could get out of it, but what he could put into it. And he put much into it. It cost him. Sometimes we hear people saying today, I don't get that much out of the worship of the Lord. I know people who leave gospel preaching, faithful ministry, and they go to what might be the very opposite. And their reason for it is, well, there was really nothing there for us. In my mind, I have a father, a family, and speaking of the father of the congregation, leaving a faithful, separated gospel preaching ministry. And when he did so, I met him one day, and I asked him why that was. Oh, he said, there was really nothing there for the children. He meant there was no social activities. He went to a place where they've got all manners of activities for everybody. Bits of amusement. Oh, how well they cater for their young people. That's their boast. And that's why he went there. And I said, brother, you tell me there's nothing in your home church for you or for the children. The preaching of the word, the instruction of boys and girls, teaching them the shorter catechism, teaching them that they need to come to Christ for salvation, teaching them that they need to walk with God. Are those things as nothing, or they have no value to your children? Oh man, don't ever say that you're not getting anything out of serving the Lord. The whole purpose of Barzillai here and the basis of his steadfastness was, what can I do for the Lord's anointed? Not what can the Lord's anointed do for me. He continued with the king right on to the end of the road. But then, people, we have his supplication to the Lord's anointed in the verses 37 and 38. Here's a man, he had respect for his mother and father. He retained them in his memory and his heart. He didn't forget them. It's good to honor thy father and thy mother. Here's a man, Barzillai, and he certainly did that. He wanted to be buried beside them. But his desire and his prayer is for his son by the name of Chimham. If you look at the verse 37, halfway through that verse, we have his petition to King David. He said, but behold thy servant Chimham, that's his son. Let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. His desire, his prayer was that his son should continue with the king, that his son should walk with God's anointed, that his son should serve the anointed of God, that his son should fellowship with the Lord. His desire was that his son would be right with God. I wonder, parents, is that your prime desire for your children? Is it, my friend, as we read in 3 John and the first four there, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. no greater joy. What is your desire for your children? Is it that they should have a good education? Nothing wrong with having a good education. I would encourage every young person in this house today, get the best education you can. And as much of it as you can. Nothing wrong with it. Is it, my friend, your desire that they should go to university? Not a thing wrong with that. Is it that they should get a good job and a good position, make plenty of money, do well in life? My friend, those are all right in their place. But the prime desire of a parent's heart is that their children should be saved, that they should not be found in hell, but that their children should come to know Christ as their Savior, walk with God and glorify God in their living, and be found in heaven for all eternity. That was the desire of this man here, that his son should walk with God's anointed. This is the prayer of a man of iron. First and foremost, that his children would be saved. But then we have the blessing of the anointed upon Barzillai. We have the sequel, if you like, to this. In the verse 37 there, we will find he's speaking about his death. He says, "Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again, that I may die in mine own city and be buried by the grave of my father and my mother." He anticipated his death with gladness, with contentment. He speaks of it with calmness. There's no dread there. And no wonder. After a life of honoring and serving the Lord, there is no fear in meeting God. Not for this man any longer the sounds of feasting or the sounds of singing. He had lost his taste for those things. His ears had lost his hearing, the hearing of these things. For him, he had better things to look forward to dying and going home to see the Lord. He had no fear, no dread of death whatsoever. Someone penned a few verses regarding being afraid to die, speaking of the child of God. He wrote, "Afraid of what? To feel the Spirit's glad release, to pass from pain to perfect peace, the strife and strains of life to cease. Afraid of that. Afraid to see the Savior's face, to hear his welcome, and to trace the glory gleam from wounds of grace. Afraid of that? Afraid of what?" Here's a man, he had walked with the Lord's anointed. He had that close relationship with the Lord's anointed. And when it came to die, he had no fear of death. Dear child of God, afraid of what? Afraid of being carried into the near presence of the Lord to enjoy the blessings of God and his presence for all eternity. There's no fear. And then we find in the verse 39 that Barzillai died with the kiss of the king upon him. He had the blessing of the Lord's anointed. Ah, people, that's the way to die. But it's only for those that die in fellowship with the Lord. Dear unsaved, you'll never die with the sweetness of the kiss or the blessing of Christ upon you. You never die with the blessing of the Lord upon you if you don't come to Christ. The kiss of the Lord, the sweetness of the blessing of God, and the sense, the sweet sense of his presence with you in death is only for those who love the Lord. Psalmist David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Here's a blessing for the people of God, for the child of God who stands firm in the things of God. But then we see also the answer to his petition for his son. And that verse 37 there, he said, "Behold thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king and do to him what shall seem good unto thee." Verse 40. Then the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. The very thing that Barzillai wanted for his son, to go on with the Lord's anointed, he had that answer of prayer. It's wonderful to see how this is repeated for us. If you go into 1 Kings, in the chapter 2, we verse 7 there, we read there the instruction that David is giving to his son, Solomon, with regard to Barzillai's children. He says, "But show kindness unto the sons of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and let them be of those that eat at thy table. And so they came to me when I fled because of Absalom thy brother." He remembers what Barzillai did. He remembers the steadfastness of Barzillai. He remembers how Barzillai had separated himself from the rest of Israel to support the cause of David. He remembers it, and he remembers the prayer of Barzillai for his son. And he gives instruction that will be carried out. And then when we go on over into the Old Testament, if we go to the chapter 41 there of Jeremiah, we're reading here again, way generations after that. And we read in the verse 17 of Jeremiah 41, "And they departed and dwelt in the habitation of Chimham, which is by Bethlehem, to go into Egypt." And here we find generations later on, Barzillai's descendants, the descendants of his son Chimham, that he prayed for, that he would go on with the Lord's anointed. And where are they? They're still on David's ground. They're still in the place of David's city in Bethlehem. Oh, for generations they've known the blessing of a godly, strong man, Barzillai. People, what an answer to prayer. The prayer of a faithful man of God. David's cause needed men like Barzillai. Strong men, solid men, dependable men, men with fixed hearts who would not be easily turned aside. And that's what Christ's cause needs today. And such men have God's blessing in life. And they have God's blessing in death. And just like Barzillai, they have God's blessing in their families after them. Know that God would make us to be such a blessing to our families, to our children, to our grandchildren, to our great-grandchildren, that we might have that blessing that Barzillai had, but that we would be like Barzillai. Men, women, and young people who know the Lord as Savior, who have been to Christ for the cleansing power of His blood and saved by His grace, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their shepherd, and who walk with Him and turn not aside to the left or to the right. May God make us to be strong people of God even this day. May God apply His word to our hearts today.